Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast.
Today, we're kicking off a summer fitness plan to energize your body, your mind, your spirit. Lifestyle makeover expert Cheryl Richardson, author of Take Time for Your Life, which I told you was a great book. And obviously, you all thought so, too, because it's now on the bestsellers list, showed you how to find time for yourself and to begin to prioritize yourself in your own life. The book goes step by step as to what you need to do. And we found out how to eliminate things that are draining your energy. Today, we're looking at what fuels you, which is one of the subjects that Cheryl talks about a lot in the book. What fuels you? Now, if you're one of the thousands who've written to us saying your hectic lives have left you stressed and empty, you may be fueling your body in unhealthy ways and putting your well-being at risk. Take a look at some of the unhealthy ways most busy women fuel their bodies.
I live at Camp Chaos. It is a crazy, nonstop, caffeine-driven, high-pressure, demanding life every single day. I am always running a million miles an hour, and I never sit down. I think it would actually frustrate me to sit still. I don't know any other way to live.
Junk food is my daily fuel. I live on it. I don't even know what I'm like without it. I start each morning with chips, soda, and candy. By mid-morning, when my energy level starts to drop, I make a stop at the vending machine. And for lunch, it's always fast food. I eat so much sugar, I don't even give my body time to crash.
I'm always on the phone. I use my cell phone 3,000 minutes a month. All day long, I'm checking my voicemail and email. Even though I feel I need to be connected, always being in touch gives me a rush of anxiety.
I set my clocks ahead just so I'll be on time, but it doesn't seem to matter. Even if I do get there on time, I'm stressed and exhausted just from the effort.
I have to start my day with a big surge of energy, and that means an extra large cup of coffee with 5 shots of espresso. If I don't drink it, I get horrible headaches and feel moody, grumpy, and tired.
Cheryl Richardson and medical expert Dr. Tracy Gaudet are back. Dr. Gaudet says fueling your body with caffeine, with sugar, fear, and anxiety become an addiction, really.
Absolutely.
A dangerous addiction.
Absolutely. I think one of the things we need to recognize is that adrenaline is in your system to be in crisis mode.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to the fight or flight when the saber-toothed tiger's at your ankles. So it's there, increases your heart rate, your blood pressure. It changes a lot of the way your body functions. And it's okay in crisis, but when we create crisis on a minute-by-minute basis, just to get through the day, we're putting ourselves at risk.
Really?
Yep, absolutely. It can result in things like depression, weight gain, insomnia, changes in our menstrual cycles, changes in our fertility. There are, in terms of long-term, even heart disease and stroke.
So people are addicted to adrenaline and don't know it. Is
that
it?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, this is really a new concept we're talking about. Once again, for people, most of us are fueled by this thing called adrenaline that our body really does need. But when we start rushing around and we start checking voicemail and email 50,000 times a day and using caffeine and sugar, and people are smiling with the email and the voicemail, when we start doing all of that, it just perpetuates this ongoing use of adrenaline. Before you know it, you can't not check your voicemail and email, or you're chronically late, or you're relying on 3 pots of caffeine or 3,000 minutes on a cell phone.
I know, I'm just amazed at the people who, like, check their voicemails, they're out and they got to call in home to see who called them.
Yes.
I'm going like, is your life that full? I mean, you can't miss a phone call.
It becomes an addiction. I mean, that's the point I think that, you know, that we're making is, you're right, you can't miss checking. That little hit of anxiety you feel when you check your voicemail or when you check your email is the adrenaline coursing through your body's system.
Okay. This is Jennifer. Jennifer says she's addicted to adrenaline and desperate to slow down, lose weight, gain control of her life.
I am an adrenaline junkie. I'm busy 24 hours a day. My sleeping habits are horrible, and I wake up tired, exhausted. I probably drink 3 pots of coffee a day. I cannot focus now without coffee. Every single project I have had, and I've had to pull almost straight all-nighters, and it's a huge rush, and it absolutely fuels me. It gives me more energy to keep going when I'm done with it and ready to tackle the next thing. I'm giving all this energy to the rest of the world, to my job, to my friends, to anyone I meet on the street. I can't do this much longer, and it's not letting me be who I want to be and who I think I am. It is an empty feeling. I can just sit by myself and say these incredibly kind of self-hateful things. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm lazy. Sitting quietly doing nothing for me is like a blind date when you first meet the person, and you have that awkwardness where you don't really know each other very well. I believe I'm filling my life up with a million activities so I don't have to deal with me.
Well, that's pretty profound. Cheryl says Jennifer can start to replace unhealthy fuels with better fuels like sleep and laughing and exercise, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Jennifer's a good example of what happens when you're, it's like an addiction, when you're running on adrenaline for so long, you're going to need more and more coffee, more and more rushing around.
Did you say 3 pots of coffee?
That's what we figured it probably, I mean, a pot in the morning, and then with the lattes over the day.
A
yes. Pot, 8 to 10 cup pot, yes. Big mugs. Yes.
And so, I'm sure you've seen.
Just go down. That's the scary part, you'd think. You'd think that's how I'd be. No, that's.
So
to me,
when
it's
you go
normal.
To sleep at night, you is that what you
I
don't?
I crash at night.
You crash at night.
I crash. I don't go to sleep. I crash. Basically.
And one of the distinctions that I think is important here is how are we fueling and what level are we fueling at? And all of these things we're talking about—the caffeine, the sugar, the carbohydrates, the adrenaline—all work on the body level. That's a body fuel. That gets your body charged. And the way to deepen those energy stores that will last over time is to ask the question: how are we fueling our minds, and how are we fueling the deepest level, which is our spirit? Mm-hmm. You know, you would never go a week without eating, but many of us go weeks on end without fueling our spirit. And these are the healthy fuels that Cheryl talks about, really work at that much deeper sustaining level, which are healthier.
But I'm wondering, you know, like if I have even like an iced tea past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can feel it in my fingers. Mm-hmm. I can feel the caffeine pumping through my body. So I'm wondering if you drink 3 pots of coffee, then you never give your body a chance to ever release it.
Right.
So you're
right.
Constantly agitated, in an agitated state.
Which I think to me feels normal.
Yeah. Yes.
And there I'm very focused, and I can move as quickly as I want to.
I bet the whole idea of slowing down feels really frightening to you at this point.
It feels really welcome at this point. It seems kind of unrealistic. You know, it's hard to imagine, but it's a very welcome idea. Actually, I did your healthy adrenaline checklist in the book.
Yeah.
I think I scored a 30. Out of 100. So I know there's a lot of places where I could be getting more healthy sources. And it's a very welcome notion.
Isn't all of this a matter of choice, though? What you say in your book, what Bob Greene's going to come and talk about. Mm-hmm. Isn't taking care of yourself a decision?
Yes.
It's a decision. You make the choice. This is what is important in my life. And you move forward in the direction to do it.
That's right. It is a choice. I mean, the biggest excuse of all, the most damaging excuse of all, is believing we don't have a choice. You do make a choice. What's interesting about adrenaline addiction, though, is sometimes it feels like you don't have a choice because you're running at 1,000 miles an hour. What it means is it's going to be hard to slow down. The choices that we make are going to be difficult at first, but the long-term results means you get to reclaim your life. But it does. It starts with a choice. And support. I mean,
I love that. What are you running from, though? And for you to say, really, to figure out, I'm really running from myself. Because to sit with yourself is like being with a blind date. Oh, my.
Right.
We've all had some blind dates like that. Where, you know, you don't order a baked potato because it's going to take too long. If you answer yes to the following questions, you may be fueled by adrenaline. Do you constantly overcommit yourself personally and professionally? Do you repeatedly feel the need to check your voicemail or email throughout the day and night? Do you put things off until the very last minute? Do you often forget conversations or commitments? Does the thought of being bored or alone make you nervous and uncomfortable? Do you wake often in the middle of the night with your thoughts racing, unable to sleep? Well, joining our lifestyle makeover team of experts is fitness trainer Bob Green, who I spent a lot of hours with this guy, really, who says exercise is the best way to sustain your health and fuel your body, your mind, and your spirit. And that's actually the truth. He met with three women participating in our lifestyle makeover series about what's keeping them from losing weight, having more energy. And Bob says the first step to getting fit is getting to know yourself, of course. Have we had many conversations about this?
Many, and we're gonna have one today, too.
Okay. We're gonna have it about them, though, right? Okay, good. It's about understanding that it's more than just about weight.
It really is. You know, I sit with all new clients for 2 hours. And in the course of the 2 hours, I always look for the key to that person.
Uh-huh.
And it's never really about, oh, liking a certain food or hating exercise, which it could be,
that could be on the surface.
It could be on the surface. It's always something else. And usually it boils down to a self-esteem issue in some way. And I think you'll see today, in almost all cases, that's the root. But it takes different forms.
Well, Bob sat down with Jennifer to get clues about why she can't lose weight, why she can't stay fit.
Looking back at your life, when would you say your weight problem started?
At 15, I would say I thought that I was obese. I had a goal to be anorexic for a long time. I thought I was a failure because I couldn't have an eating disorder. I thought I was 400 pounds. I remember feeling like I was a glass bowl, like you could see right through me. What I see that now is just massive shame. I mean, I just felt like a shell. And just, it was very humiliating, but I didn't show that.
That's interesting. Can you pull out one time in your life that you can honestly say, oh, that was the happiest, or I was really happy at that point?
23, I was single, I was out of college, I was lonely, and I started working out. And it was great. I had balance at 23, and I was in great shape. I was actually very proud of how I looked. What happened then is I met my boyfriend, and I threw everything out the window because now I had a boyfriend, so it didn't matter. And the relationship became the most important thing to me.
Have you ever heard of happiness anxiety?
No. It rings a chord. There's been so many times I've come close to getting what I wanted, and then there's that element of, do I even deserve this?
Pretty nice. So what is happiness anxiety?
You know, fascinating, about 80% of all weight loss clients that I work with have what's termed happiness anxiety. And really it's a discomfort when everything's right in your life. And the root of it typically is a feeling of unworthiness, like you don't deserve it. When you start to get happy, you become uncomfortable.
Yeah, and thinking that something bad's gonna happen. Remember, I used to have that, like, okay, I'm just gonna get hit by a truck this week. Yeah.
Yeah, very common, and it was classic. You could see, I always look for the light bulb. And Jennifer, that was the light bulb. Yep. Yeah, that rings a chord, because when everything is right, which is what we say we're striving for, you become uncomfortable. Because at the root, you feel, oh, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be happy.
How do you get over that?
Well, you start by taking care of yourself. It's one step at a time. And the thing that you'll find about this process, it's daily. Any day that you wake up and say, I'm not ready to do this or not ready to take care of myself, that's when the slide hits.
And so we always talk about how do you keep yourself motivated. I think a lot of people feel that you're supposed to wake up every morning feeling like I do want to do it. I still, to this day, don't wake up thinking I do want to do it.
Because again, someone in that circumstance focuses on that and not, oh, the benefits of it or how it makes me feel maybe afterwards. You look at me, you always joke that I love exercise. It's not true. When I'm exercising, it's not that I really love that time. Sometimes I do. A lot of times I don't look forward to it.
I have seen you love it. You just have a look. There's something that comes over you and you're just like all like into it. It's like feeling the feeling of whatever that is.
On some days.
Most of the days I see you, you seem to be that way. But, you know.
But what I do is I focus more on the feeling afterwards and what it does for me.
I will say that. Isn't it the single greatest energy giver to your life?
Well, the thing is, exercise, we talked about adrenaline.
Yeah.
This is kind of confusing, but adrenaline can be good and it can be bad.
Yeah.
Exercise is pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
That's exactly what gets pumped out into your system when you exercise.
Well,
but it's a healthy form.
I'll have to tell you this. I worked out many years with Bob, and now I work out by myself with the group of girls. We call ourselves the Spa Girls, working out together. And I got home very late last night. I was speaking late, and then coming from another city, and there was that temptation. Some people in the group say, you don't have to show up because we know you're going to be tired. And I said, no, actually, I know I'm going to be really tired, but I'm going to work out because that will make me feel better through the rest of the day.
And you did work out.
And I did work out. And I feel better right now, Bob.
Right now, you're like...
Yes. No, but I said, I know I'm really tired, but if I don't work out, I'm going to be more tired. That hit of exercise in the morning is going to make me feel better at 4 o'clock than I will if I don't.
And more delightful to be with, I must say.
She's a mother of four who says she's exhausted and her lack of energy just scares her.
All my friends and family think I'm happy, but on the inside, it's not like that at all. I don't even know who I am. I'm searching for something more. I've lost my inner peace. Several years ago, I went through a very painful divorce after 19 years of marriage. And so I was left with four children from age one up to age 15. In order to compensate for the inadequacy that I felt in myself, I ate. Now I've been remarried and I've gained an additional 10 pounds. I'm very disgusted with myself, with the weight and the lack of energy. I just don't feel like I want to get up and do anything. It makes me feel very guilty that I am not participating more actively with my children in physical activities. And the guilt only adds to the self-image that I'm creating about myself. It makes me angry at myself. It makes me depressed. I hate the fact that anytime I start doing something strenuous, my face turns red and I feel like I'm going to pass out. Both my parents died at the age of 61, and I'm terrified that if I don't do something about my health now, I'll be dead by then too. And that's really why I want to make a lifestyle change.
So I was saying, why aren't you doing it if you're terrified? If you say, I'm terrified that if I don't do something, then I won't live to be my parents' age, so why aren't you doing it?
I really don't know the answer to that, Oprah. I have no idea. That's one of the things that's confusing me. I can't find the answer to that, of why I can't do that.
Cheryl, can you help her answer? What is that?
Yeah, go ahead. Were you going to just say something?
I was just going to say that really this is the same issue of what are you running from? It manifests in every single person's life differently, but this is what we've all been saying. It really has to start from looking inside first. So if you're not conscious of that dynamic, you don't know why you're not exercising. You know, you have this intellectual reason. Your parents died and it's fearful. But that doesn't translate into action because you're maybe fixated and focusing on the weight instead of looking inward and saying, as you do when you do your interviews for 2 hours, what's really driving you? What are you running from? Why is it that you're afraid to be with yourself? And how do we befriend? How do we become our own best friends?
What do you say? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's on two different levels. I mean, I think, yes, you have to look at what am I running from? There are the deeper issues. That's really what's at the source here. But we also just have habits that aren't serving us anymore. And the very best thing you can do to motivate you to start the changes and to stay with them is to get a partner. Getting a partner is going to help you to start creating new habits for yourself so that you can have the space, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, to begin doing the work that Tracy is talking about that is so important, that inner work of reconnecting with yourself and building your self-esteem, as Bob was saying. It's an issue of worthiness, and you've got to spend time with yourself in order to be able to address that.
What do you want to say, Bob?
Well, again, you know, we go through this whole thing. It's a lot longer than the piece you saw that's made very beautiful, and some things came out that I found very interesting. Even in the piece, she had said she was scared because her parents passed early. Fear can be a motivating force. It's not the one we would prefer, but if it gets you started, that's good. But eventually, it's got to be for you. Now, another thing that Marie said that was really interesting is she wants to be a role model for her children. That can also start you going. But I called her on that because she mentioned it so many times that I started to question, well, what's her motivation there? And it's got to be about you. It's got to be for yourself. If you try to do it because of your children, that's a great benefit, but it's first got to be for you. And then I think I got the little light bulb there where it is for me, and I think you said that. And that's going to be a key. It's got to be for yourself.
Bob Green says, when you exercise, you have more energy. It's the truth. And become more connected with yourself. That's true, too. He says small steps can result in big changes and even slow down the aging process, which we're looking to do, to stop it cold in its tracks. He took Marie and Jennifer outside to get them started on a summer fitness plan that anybody can follow. Also joining them was Tracy, one of the women we've been following through our series. Tracy also runs on adrenaline and is struggling also to lose weight.
Today we're gonna walk. It's my favorite exercise for most people. So we're gonna walk hard, and I want you to put it in your mind that your walk is sacred and you don't miss it. Are we ready to go?
We're ready.
Straight ahead. I picked walking for these women because it's a beginning. It's really a good cardiovascular exercise, which gives you the weight loss results that you want, and it's also friendly to the body. So let's just do a few stretches. We're gonna warm up during our walk. Remember the beginning of the walk, I want you to start slow. When we're into the main part of the walk where we're really testing your ability, what I'm gonna wanna see is that you can still talk, but you don't feel much like talking. That's how you know really good things are happening.
I'm there.
Marie is really funny because she loves to complain.
Doesn't your throat feel hot when you're exercising?
She'll have excuses why not to exercise. My job as a physiologist and trainer is to overcome excuses. When you think of the benefits exercise offers you, there is no excuse. Why aren't you doing this in your life? One thing I want you to think about is your posture. If you have really good posture with your chin up, your shoulders back, and your body erect, then you couple that with the swinging of the arms pulling you forward, you're walking correctly. This 90 degree angle, it's circular. Jennifer, once she got going, she had perfect form. So let's step it up a little bit, move the arms a little bit faster. Jennifer says that she's an adrenaline junkie, and what exercise does, it is adrenaline in its purest form. Exercising on a regular basis will help Jennifer to cut down on things such as caffeine that gave her the boost in the past.
I can see how exercise could help me become more centered and more calm.
Breathing is the key to cardiovascular exercise. You should be able to carry on a conversation, but you don't want to really talk that long. That's how you know you're really in that zone. I'm going to ask you from 1 to 10, how hard is your breathing? A 10 means you have to stop.
Okay.
So can you tell me where you're at?
I think I'm probably maybe about at an 8.
7.
7 is perfect. That's what I want you to hold for the whole workout.
The whole time? I'm like freaking out a little bit because I hear my heart beating and I can like feel myself breathing really hard.
Well, I can see you're flush also, which is means you're working hard.
I'm very embarrassed by the way I look. Bob told me that my face turning red actually meant that I had a good cardiovascular system and that's my body cooling off. And so actually I should not worry what other people think about me when I'm exercising, that I'm doing this for me.
Really soon, this group's gonna need to up their ante on their workout. Great way to do that is with stairs. Steps are a very good thing to add to your workout. It's harder to do, and it just brings you up even faster than the walking itself.
No way.
Exercise clears your mind. It allows you to focus on all the things you need to do to make your life special and change your life.
I really feel if I don't do it now, I may lose my last chance to get this into my life.
Okay, okay, y'all are doing the Rocky move. How far did they walk?
We walked, I think, about 2 miles, I would say.
Oh, okay, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, it had to have been 200.
So that was the breast cancer walk last weekend. 60 miles, okay.
The reason our bodies start to suffer is because we weren't paying attention to our spirit and our mind. And when we start to spend more time with ourselves, when we start to really engage in a relationship with ourselves, we're feeding or fueling ourselves on many different levels, and the body's gonna follow.
And when the body isn't working at its optimum, we should look at that as outward signs and symptoms of something else gone awry and listen to our bodies. You know, why are we feeling the way we're feeling? Where are we aching? Where are we hurting? Where are we putting on weight? And take that as signs for what else is happening in the other levels of your life.
So, okay, do they set goals or anything like that?
The first goal is, a lot of times as health professionals, we try to say, hey, we're gonna get you on a treadmill or walking outside. We're gonna start you on a weightlifting program. We're also gonna cut out all those favorite foods. And if you smoke, we're gonna have you stop smoking. It's overwhelming for most people. So it's small steps. And the first one, step I have all three doing is adding cardiovascular exercise to your life. It's the most important thing. I don't even want to touch what they're eating until maybe the fall when I know that their metabolism is kicked
in.
So
they just get to keep on eating what they're eating?
Yeah, now, pretty much, absolutely. I don't change anyone's diet for at least a month to a month and a half, and that's very important because what do most people do when they want to drop weight? They cut calories. Mm-hmm. And in response, your metabolism slows down, and you really don't have the energy to go out and continue a strenuous exercise program. So first thing you do is get the metabolism up, keep your eating nice and healthy, and then over time, slowly make the kinds of changes that you already know you need to make.
And don't you find, Bob, too, as you start walking, and walking is a great, valid form of
cardiovascular.
Everybody
can do that anywhere.
Yes, it's really beneficial. Don't you find as people start sticking with that, they naturally begin to make healthier food choices. They start to maybe, I don't know, cut back on the caffeine or maybe eat a little bit less sugar because you're feeling better on many different levels. One of the ways you motivate yourself over the long term is by paying attention to how good you feel after you've exercised.
Yeah, now that's a good feeling.
That's a really strong motivating force.
We are done for today. That is a good feeling. Oh, Lord, I got through it again. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, but the only thing you have to watch out for is you say, you know, I'm done for the month.
No, don't do that. I'm doing it every day.
I know that.
You know that. Spa girls. Spa girls. We're still training for our half marathon. We're up to 8 miles, moving to 9 next week.
I heard that you got the set commitment from all the spa girls that you're running, right?
We're all running.
This is on national TV.
Yes, we voted. We're running. We're running. And Gail, who is a spa girl, runs on her treadmill at the same time that we're running. I think it's a lot harder to run 9 miles on a treadmill.
Oh,
yeah, it's much harder. She's doing it by herself. Okay, what's the best way for a person to decide what exercise to start with?
Well, I think if you're starting out, your best bet is walking. And usually when you say that, most people say, well, can you really get a good workout and can you get results? And you really can. Most people don't walk hard enough. And all of our girls really worked hard and found that, yeah, I didn't know I could walk that hard.
Yeah, I do see some people that I want to, but I don't want to, because you know now you can't just tell people anything. I want to say, can I offer you a croissant while they're just kind of strolling along? Yeah. Might I offer you a croissant? Because, okay, so you have to get those arms up and make it worth it.
Yeah, and move faster, learn how to swing the arms, and just make it hard. And again, if you're above that level that's giving you a good workout, add a hill, get on a treadmill, add the grade, whatever it takes, even hand weights.
So you should be asking yourself on a scale of 1 to 10.
About how hard am I working? And,
yes.
And I want you at about a 7 when you first start out.
Okay.
As you move in, get a little bit fitter, you can move into an 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is you ask yourself, can I talk? And you should be able to talk, but you really don't feel like talking.
That's true. And what did you want to say, Cheryl?
And I want to say, in addition to that, in an effort to really prepare yourself to be active for the summer, in terms of kicking the adrenaline habit, some of the things you can do is give yourself permission to rest a lot more this summer. Find a really great novel and start reading. So that
we have a good novel.
We got a good novel for you.
For you.
To start calming your body down. Warm baths, another great way to calm the body down. Make it a point once a week to rent a funny video. And laugh. Make a date, a prescription to laugh once a week, or to have a good cry, which is a really important way to fuel yourself.
Watch this show. We cry a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's any given day, turn it on. We'll be boo-hooing about something. We made it through this day without a tear. That's pretty good, though. Yeah. Good.
So these are some of the things you can do to begin, and there are physical things
as
well.
Absolutely. I guess the take-home message I'd like to say is to remember that we are human beings, not human doings. And we spend all of our time doing. That's this adrenaline thing. Do, 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 do. And part of the way to refuel is to think about how can you just spend a little downtime being. And that can be connecting with the things you love to do.
Breathing
is
one of
great.
The most powerful ways to slow the physiology down. Breathing in slowly through the nose, holding the breath, and then breathing out even slower through the mouth.
Absolutely. And just doing that and being conscious of that twice a day.
Breathe in four, seven.
Out for eight, and you do that 4 times. And it is amazing. It will, you know, if you're on caffeine and adrenaline all
the time,
it will bring you right down and center you and focus you, and it's fabulous. And it has health benefits, too.
Thank you so much for watching.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.